please stand and take your Bibles. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. The book of Jeremiah, the prophet, chapter number 8. And we'll begin reading with verse number 21. Jeremiah, chapter 8. And we'll begin reading with verse 21 tonight. I would like to say how thankful I am for the privilege that I've had to be with you today. Having enjoyed this morning service. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that we felt in this place and how that God moved in an altar service as well. And the altar service is always my favorite part of church. I love preaching and I love singing and love worshiping God. But when we can get into the altar and begin to pray and watch people's lives be changed, that's my favorite part of coming to church. We preach to get them in the altar. I preach to see results. And I believe that when God's Spirit is in it, that there will be results that take place. And I thank God for that tonight. We'd like to thank Brother Philip for considering me for this day. And Brother Jerry and Brother Ricky and Brother Nate, all of those that are the pastoral staff of this church. You are greatly blessed and privileged to have the staff that you do have that is anointed of God's Spirit to do the work that God has called them to do. Amen. It's all about having the anointing when we go to do anything for God. We've got to have the anointing of the Spirit of God, and I'm thankful for the anointing that is upon the lives of your pastoral staff and how that they have poured into me as an evangelist and given me this opportunity to be with you today. I'm glad to have the visitors that are here. Brother and Sister Hunter, good to have you. My mom is here. My sister is here. Her boyfriend, they're all here tonight. So glad to have all of the visitors that are with us in the house of God tonight. Let's give them a hand for being here. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 21 in God's word. The scripture says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me." But notice verse 22. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" I'm going to read that scripture one more time. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician or doctor there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Tonight we're going to take a trip together to the doctor's office. And I want to preach to you on the subject, the doctor is in. The doctor is in. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray with me and pray for me that God would touch me to preach His word tonight. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for one more opportunity to deliver the word of truth. We thank you for the Lord and the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you give us freedom, that you give us liberty to preach your word. Lord, let every word come directly from the throne of God. Let all the words flow freely from the throne of God. Let your mind be spoken in this house tonight. Lord, we pray for a sick nation, for a sick people, that the only healing can be found in that balm of Gilead. We pray tonight that your anointing would flow in this house to preach. And for those that are here, that they would be anointed to hear, to receive of your word. Let your Spirit have His way. For all that is accomplished, we'll thank you. We'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. We're believing for great and mighty things. In the name of Jesus we pray tonight and thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The doctor is in. Tonight we live in a sin-sick, disease-laden society. Men and women are hurting like they have never hurt before. Uncle Sam is sick. Mother Nature is upset. And social insecurity has become the order of the day. The great American dream that many have spoken about has become somewhat of a nightmare. Many civilizations have fallen when they were in the state that America is in tonight, rotting from within, plagued with sin, and a society that is filled with maladies. Because of tremendous needs, there are many specialists that are going into specialized fields to try to accommodate those needs that exist. There are financial specialists. There are family specialists. And of course, there are physical specialists. There is an anesthesiologist that will put you to sleep. There is a bacteriologist that will be a germ specialist. There's a cardiologist that is a heart specialist. An endocrinologist that is a secretion gland specialist. There's a gastroenterologist who is the stomach specialist. There's a hematologist for the blood. The podiatrist for the feet. The pathologist for diseases. The orthopedist for the joints and spine. There is an otologist for the ears. An oncologist for tumors. There's a nephrologist for the kidneys. A neurologist for your nerves. And a virologist for viruses. There is a psychiatrist. A psychologist, a psychoanalyst, a psychotherapist, and maybe another psycho or two that tends to your mind. Now, I salute specialists. I salute the medical profession and those who are doing everything within their power and ability to administer health and healing to a hurting society. We can find in God's word that Jesus never threw stones at the medical profession. In Luke 5:31, he said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Jesus insinuated there is a need for a doctor. But my message to you tonight is very simple. It's not going to be overcomplicated tonight. When the doctor shakes his head and turns and walks away from you and says, "There is no hope, there is no help, and there is no cure." Or when the specialist looks you in the eyes and tells you that you will always be living beneath that dark cloud that hangs over your head. There is a man called Jesus Christ who is able, who is willing, and who is ready to walk into your life. And from head to heel, up and down, through and through, he will minister to you. Because he is the great physician. He is the doctor tonight, and the doctor is in. There are all kinds of sicknesses that exist. There are physical sicknesses, mental sicknesses, spiritual sicknesses, and the list can go on and on. Medicinal science views the causes of sickness and disease in psychological, mental, and emotional terms. And while these things can clearly affect our health, while these things can clearly be a cause to problems in our health, the Bible tells us that there is a spiritual cause to sickness. There is a spiritual cause to all of the suffering that takes place in our world today. And the root of all problems, the root of all sickness and suffering in the world today is a three-letter word that has the hiss of a serpent and the sting of death. And that word is sin. Because of sin, sickness abounds, rages, and rampages throughout our society. Because of sin, there are many things that take place. Because of sin, we are born into a wicked world. Because of sin, the scripture tells us that we are born in iniquity. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." We were all born with a sin nature. We were all born in a marred and a misshapen state. We were all born fallen humanity. We were born to sin against our Creator. We were born in bodies that are built to not last forever. We're born into bodies that are susceptible to sicknesses, that are susceptible to suffering in this life. Because of sin, all of these things are taking place. Because of sin, we see that there is a virus that is rampaging throughout our society tonight. Because of sin, there are riots that are taking place on our streets just about every weekend. But because of sin, there are so many things that are going wrong in our world tonight. We can all link it back to what took place in the Garden of Eden thousands of years ago. I can tell you, but just because of sin, there is so many things. But I've come to announce and to proclaim to you tonight that because of the Savior, because of the Savior, God offers freedom. He provides restoration. He gives us triumph and victory over the darkness of this world. We do not have to live under a dark cloud. We do not have to live in servitude to the enemy of our soul. We do not have to live in a sinful state, but we can have victory because of the Savior of the world who left His throne in heaven 2,000 years ago and came down to this place called earth. He left the glory and and the splendor of heaven, so that he could come to be mocked, so that he could come to be beaten and spat upon, hung upon a cross. But tonight, I can tell you, he came so that we could have victory over the trouble that is in our lives, so that we could have victory over sin and over sickness tonight. In the passage of scripture that we've read tonight, we see the prophet Jeremiah. He's crying out because of what is taking place in his day. And the scripture said in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In effect, what he was saying was this: are there no means of healing? Meaning, is there no medicine? Is there no solution to the problem? Is there no healer to apply them for the spiritual wounds of Israel? He was crying out for healing. He was crying out for that healing balm, for that medicine to be applied to the spiritual wounds that were so present in his day. He was looking for an answer to that great problem. But this question that was asked in scripture is a rhetorical question. This question that was asked in scripture, when it's given, God already knows the answer to the question. When God asked this question, he already knew the answer. In fact, there's never been a question that has ever been asked to which God did not know the answer. We find that he asked Adam in the garden, where art thou? He asked Moses, Moses, what is that in thine hand? He asked Jeremiah, is there no balm in Gilead? He asked Ezekiel, can these bones live again? He asked Malachi, will a man rob God? He asked a lame man, who touched me? He asked his disciples, who touched me? He asked the lame man, wilt thou be made whole? He asked Abraham, is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? If God asks a question in the Word of God, we can know without the shadow of a doubt that he already knows the answer. But sometimes he just wants to know, do you know the answer? Sometimes he just wants to know, do we as the people of God know the answer to the question? Because the answer to that question that was asked in scripture, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there a medicine that can be applied? Yes, there's a medicine that can be applied. Is there no physician? There is a great physician that is above. I can tell you tonight, if you're wondering how we can have healing in our land, if you're wondering how we can have the Spirit of God at work in our land, the answer's already been given to us. The Word of God said in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And God said, I will heal their land. He just wants to know sometimes, do we know the answer to the question? So I can ask you tonight, as the Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church, how do we have healing in this day? How do we have the Spirit of God at work in this day? The scripture said that if we would humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that if we would call out to him in prayer, that if we would seek the face of the Lord, that if we would turn from our wicked ways, then God said, I'll hear your prayer. I'll hear your supplication. I'll hear your call. I'll forgive the sin that is so rampant in that day. And God said, I'll bring healing to a hurting land. I'll bring healing to a land that is filled with sickness and infirmity. When we look at the world around us tonight, it is clear to see that we're in a world that is in need of healing. When you look around at our nation tonight, things are changing. We have never seen a day like the day in which we're living. There's never been a time in our lives when there has been so much unrest, evil, suffering, worry, and yes, sickness. We see people who are troubled. We see people who are perplexed. We see so many that are just on the verge of suicide, and many have already begun to take their lives. They are so burdened down with the cares of this life that they seem to find no answer. They seem to find no cure. They seem to find no source of help in the world that we're living in tonight. Because my friend, if you're looking around in the world tonight to find any kind of help, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking for a presidential election to solve all your problems, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking to our government and our nation system to solve the problems that are going on in our nation tonight, you're never going to find the answer. If you're looking around to preachers, or if you're looking on your television screens to the news media that is given out, you're never going to find an answer to the problem. But I can tell you tonight, 2,000 years ago, a cure was provided. 2,000 years ago, the answer was found. And Jesus said, I am that great physician. And tonight, the doctor is in. The doctor is in. And it was announced in his biography that the cure for cancer has already been found. It was announced in his biography that the cure for heart trouble has already been found. It was announced in his biography that the cure for back trouble has already been found. It was announced in his biography that the cure for AIDS has already been found. And yes, friend, it's been announced in his biography that the cure for COVID-19 has already been found. It's in Jesus Christ. And tonight, I've come to announce to you that the doctor is in, and whatever the need may be, the answer has been found, because 1 Peter 2:24, it said, who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I've just come to tell you that if you're looking healing for your home tonight, if you're looking healing for your body tonight, if you're looking healing for your soul, look no further than the great physician, because the answer has been found. One thing you should know for sure, without the shadow of a doubt, is that God desires to heal as a part of His plan. It is the will of God to heal. There are many names of God that are revealed to us in the Old Testament. As God began to show us as His people different aspects of His character, there are different names that are given to us in the Old Testament. We find one of the first ones that are given is in Genesis chapter 22. We find that God had promised Abraham a son. God had promised him that in his old age, he and his wife were going to have a son to carry on the line. Now, they tried to figure it out in their own flesh before. They tried to figure it out in what they could do in their own work to try to figure it out, but that wasn't how God had promised. God said that you and your wife are going to have a son of promise. God is going to give you a son in your old age. So God gave him Isaac to carry on that lineage of Abraham. God gave him that son of promise. But the day came when God looked at Abraham and said, I want you to carry that son of promise up on top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him there to me. Now, how could God ask Abraham such a thing? How could God promise a son? How could God give him a gleam of hope into his life by giving him that son in his old age? And then all of a sudden, God says, you've got to sacrifice him to me. We think that's unjust of God. How could God do such a thing? But Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man who believed God, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. So we find that Abraham took that son of promise, and he started marching up Mount Moriah to make it to the top. And I'm sure Isaac began to wonder, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Where is that animal that we're going to lay on the altar and sacrifice there? But God had told Abraham, you've got to lay that son of promise. You've got to take that knife and kill him and sacrifice him to me. And they made that altar there. And Abraham laid Isaac down. He had him pinned up on that place. And he had the knife raised, just about to plunge it into the body of his only son of promise. And the voice of God, the angel of the Lord, spoke to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, stay thy hand. Do thy son no harm, because I've got a better way. Come on, say amen tonight. God said, I've got a better way. And there was a ram that was caught over in the thicket as God was showing that there was going to be a substitution, that God provided for him. And it was there that they built the altar, and Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. He said, the Lord has provided for himself a lamb. The Lord provided himself a ram that was caught in the thicket. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. But then we find in Exodus 15 and 26 that the children of Israel found themselves in the wilderness. They couldn't find good water to drink. They were complaining because the waters of Marah were very bitter. But it was there that the Lord moved and began to clean the water up. It was there that God declared, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord revealed himself at the bitter waters of Marah as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Rapha means to restore. It means to heal or to make healthful. So God said right there at the waters of Marah, I am your healer. And the question I have of you tonight as the church is, has the nature of God changed? Has the character of God changed? The word of God said to me in Psalm 105 and 37 that there was not one feeble person among the tribes. That tells me that the same God that said, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, is the God who kept his people through the wilderness, and there was not one that was sick and diseased among them. I read in the word of God that he is the God who heals. And I read where he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 1 and 10 said, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. The writer said, but thou art the same. Church of God, that tells me tonight that the same God who said that he does not change is the same God who said that he is our healer. So I'm telling you that the same God that healed back in the Bible days is the same God that heals today. He is still Jehovah Rapha tonight. And there is not a disease that he cannot cure. There's not a sickness that he cannot make it depart. I'm telling you tonight, we're serving the God who is still able to heal of all manner of sickness and disease. Job 5:18 said, for he maketh sore and he bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. Psalm 103 and 3 said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? That's a good place to say amen right there. Psalm 107 and 20, it said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Jeremiah 3 and 22, it said, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. God is still a healer for all who will come to him. But we can move from the Old Testament into the New Testament when God revealed himself in a new and living way. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to be the healer of man's trouble. Jesus Christ is the healer tonight. His ministry while he was on earth focused mainly on three things. First of all, the teaching of God's word. Secondly, he focused on the preaching about the opportunity to turn from sin and to receive life through him. But thirdly, Jesus' ministry focused on healing every kind of disease among the people. 2/3 of the gospel are devoted to the healing ministry of Jesus. There are 41 recorded incidents of healing in his earthly ministry. So we understand tonight that Jesus Christ is the healer. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that Jesus Christ would come to be the healer. Isaiah 53:3. It said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from before him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ, years before he ever made an entrance onto planet earth, the scripture told us it was prophesied that he would come to be the healer of man's trouble. That whatever the disease was, that he would come to be the healer. I want you to understand something tonight, without the shadow of a doubt, that when someone is healed, it is not because a certain man or woman laid hands on them. It has nothing to do with the individual doing the praying themselves, but with the faith that is attached to that individual. I will not name any of them, but there have been many who have come along as charlatans and hirelings to try to place a price tag on the healing power of God. There have been many to come along to try to prostitute the healing power of God, to try to say, if you will but send me your money, if you will but call in and become a partner of mine, you can receive the healing that you need. There have been many who have had special services and special gatherings where people would go through and they would weed out people who had serious problems. They would weed out individuals who had serious needs, and they would get them out of the way, and they would never be allowed to see those people on television screens. It's all right if it gets quiet here for just a minute. I know it is, but I'm telling the truth. There have been many that have come along and done that. There have been many who have went through and weeded out the hard cases. And this has caused many people to lose faith in the healing power of God. This has caused many professing Christians to lose faith in the healing power of God. I remember a specific time that I was sitting in class, in my high school class. I don't even remember if it was a Bible class or not. But there was a teacher that stood up and spoke in our class and said that the days of miracles are undoubtedly over. Now, we don't believe that. We think that's ridiculous for somebody to stand up, but it happened. I was sitting in that class when that teacher stood and said that the days of miracles are over. I remember a good friend of mine was preaching a service, and there was a woman who had come, and she was in a wheelchair, unable to walk, and God touched her, and she was raised up out of that wheelchair and started walking. And I relayed that story to a professing Christian, and that professing Christian looked at me and said, I just don't know if I can buy into all that. Say amen, somebody. That professing Christian looked at me and said, I just don't know if I can believe that God got somebody up out of a wheelchair. The only response I have to something like that is to say this. If you are a Christian, that means that you believe that the blood of Jesus has saved your soul from sin, right? Amen. That means that you believe the blood of Jesus has saved your soul from sin. So I submit to you tonight that if you can believe that that blood was shed to cleanse your filthy soul from sin, I sure can believe tonight that the blood was shed so that I could be healed of all manner of sickness and disease. Jesus didn't just go to the cross to provide for my salvation, but he went to the cross. He took the stripes upon his back. He bore the pain and the agony and the suffering of Calvary so that I could stand before you tonight healed by the power of Almighty God. The blood still works tonight, and there's still power in the blood to heal. There's still power in the blood to deliver and to set free tonight. As I said, there have been many who came along to try to weed out the tough cases. But I can tell you there was one who went straight to the hard cases. There was one who never weeded out the tough problems. He went straight to them. I'm reminded of a certain time in John chapter 5. That Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. There he found a man who had been lame for some time. He had been suffering for 38 years with a disability, with a sickness in his body. He was helpless. Had nowhere that he could turn. And every year the angel of the Lord would come down and stir the water. Would come down and trouble that water. And whoever made it into the pool first would be healed. And this man for 38 years had been dealing with this sickness. He was never able to get into that pool in time. He spoke that day and said, I have no man when the water is troubled to get me into the pool. I have no man that can get me into that water. But it was on that day he didn't need the pool of Bethesda. Because the water of life. The water of life passed by his way on that day. Jesus looked at him in his helpless state, in his state where he could not provide for himself, where he could not do for himself, where he couldn't provide a means of healing for himself. He couldn't get into the pool. But it was on that day that Jesus walked by that man. He looked him in the eyes and he said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And that man who had been sitting by the wayside for 38 years, he stood up. And he started walking by the healing power of Jesus Christ. I've just come to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is still the great physician. And there's never been a case that was too hard for him to handle. The water of life passed by and that man was healed. Jesus had such power that death and disease cannot stay in his presence. Jesus never one time preached a funeral, because every funeral he ever went to, he broke the thing up. The morticians hated him because he was putting them out of business, because everything to do with Jesus Christ, his light, his love, and his life, he was ruining the morticians' business. But tonight I can tell you that he is the life. He's the Prince of Life. He's the author of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. I look around at the world tonight and it's clear to see that our world is dying, that our world is helpless, and that our world is no hope. But I can tell you there is only one cure. There is only one hope. There is only one remedy. There's only one answer. And it's the man who stood and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah to God. He said, I will give you rest. I'll bring healing to your hurting soul. And while I'm at it, Jesus Christ does not have to be physically walking on the earth for you to be healed. I read in Acts chapter 3 that there was a man who was sitting by the gate called Beautiful. He was sitting outside of the church. There's a lot that can be said about that. He was a crippled man that was sitting outside of a church that was even more crippled than he was. Say amen, church. He was a crippled man sitting outside of a crippled church, because it was obvious that nobody inside could do a thing for him. He was sitting outside of the church. He was helpless. He was lame on his feet. He couldn't work because of his sickness and his disease that he had. He was left on the outside of the church because there was no healing power on the inside. There was nobody that could get any help from God for him. So all that he could do was sit on the outside and beg for alms of those who would enter into the house. But there was a day that came for him. There was a day that came for him when two Pentecostal preachers came by his way. I love Methodists, I love Presbyterian, but these two preachers were Pentecostal. they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter and John came by his way on that day. They saw him in his helpless state. They saw him in his troubled state, that he was lame. He could not provide. He could not do for himself. And he was begging for money. He was begging for silver. And he was begging for gold. But Peter and John looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any silver that I can offer to you. I don't have any money that I can offer to you. I don't have any status or any prominence that I can offer to you. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And that man who had been lame from his mother's womb stood up and he started walking by the power of God. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." There's still power in his name tonight. The scripture said, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and hath given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus sickness has got to fall, that at the name of Jesus disease will be defeated." There's still power in his name tonight. Go on and give God a shout of praise if you believe it in the house of God tonight. He's worthy tonight. His name still is exalted high. Go and give God a hand of praise if you believe it in the house tonight. Peter spoke of Jesus in Acts 10 and 38. Said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about as the healer. He went about as the doctor, for God was with him. Now I read in the book of John 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." I feel this thing tonight. There's something turning over on the inside of me. The scripture said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go unto my Father. And greater works than these shall he do." Jesus said that because God is with you, because God is in you, greater works than these that we're going to do as the church of the living God. So I can stand to you tonight and tell you that as a Holy Ghost filled preacher, that the doctor is in, and that there is healing that has been offered to a hurting society. There is healing that is offered to a sick body. And whatever the problem may be, there is healing that can be had. I'm going to close. Mark 16 and 17. Scripture said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." James 5 and 15 said that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I just want you to know tonight, I don't need a song about healing to convince me that God is a healer. I don't need a preacher to stand in my face and scream for 2 hours to let me know that God is a healer. All I have to do is open up the pages of God's Word and realize that when He walked through Judea, He healed the sick. When He walked through Samaria, He healed the sick. When He walked through Jerusalem, He healed the sick. Through all the regions round about, He healed the sick. He said in Luke 4 and 18 that the Spirit of the Lord is come upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that is enough proof for me to believe tonight that Jesus is still the great physician. That's enough proof for me to believe tonight that no matter what the sickness, no matter what the disease, no matter what the trouble, that he is the healer. That he's the doctor, and that the doctor is in tonight. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. No matter what the trouble, no matter what the sickness or the suffering is, he's a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. It's easy to believe this when people are all around you. It's easy to believe this when they're shouting and dancing and rejoicing going on all around you. You're in a camp meeting type atmosphere. But we as the children of God need something inside of us that can believe this in the loneliness of the midnight hour, when we can turn to no one else, when that man of God won't answer the phone, when this one won't answer the phone. We need something inside of us as the children of God that can believe in a time like that. And that something is called faith. We've got to have faith to believe that amid the crashing thunder that's all around us, that God is still able and that God is still on the throne. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans said in 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. I'm living a life of faith tonight because I believe in the doctor. I believe in the great physician, and I'm living a life of faith. But I can tell you what took place tonight. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have faith tonight. God's dealt to every man a measure of faith. All we need to believe God for miracles is to have faith. And God will confirm his word. The doctor is in tonight. Would you stand all across the place? Father, I come to you tonight in the matchless name of Jesus. We believe that the power of the Lord is present to heal. We believe that no matter the trouble, no matter the difficulty, no matter the sickness, that you are the healer of it all. And we pray tonight that by the Spirit of God, if there is one that needs a touch in their body, that tonight would be their night to receive from heaven. That tonight would be the night that they receive that healing that they need in their body and in their soul. God, we pray that you'd move upon every individual that's in this house. Lord, you know every need that's represented. And we believe that you're present. We believe that you're here tonight. We place our faith in you tonight. We place our trust, our total dependence upon the Lord tonight, believing that you are the great physician. Move and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name. You have a need in your heart. You have a need in your life. I invite you to step out. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God tonight. There's something wrong in your physical body. You need the touch of God. I want you to step out. Let's find a place of prayer around this altar. You need a touch from God tonight. He's here. His presence is here tonight. He can meet your need. There are those that have already come, but I invite you, anybody else, you just need a touch from God tonight. You need a touch from the great physician tonight. He is able. He's willing. He's ready to walk into your life tonight. and to give you that which you need. I believe it by faith in the cross of Christ. By faith in what Calvary accomplished 2,000 years ago. Let's pray together as a church body.
His stripes we are His stripes.